it's usually the cover-up. How far will the fallout at Michigan State go? 319-366-1600.
You're from freaking Iowa.
This aggression will not stand, man.
From the heart of eastern Iowa and the insert name of sponsor here, studios.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show.
Calling us whiners and that is kind of unprofessional. Classy broadcasters like George Blah and everybody else wouldn't even think to do something like that on TV.
Just imagine what they're calling Tom Izzo in Michigan State today. That was Izzo last year. You may or may not remember the Michigan State basketball coach going after Dan Dockich for some tweets that he made about the Spartans program during a game. He addressed those in his post-game news conference. Did Izzo, Tom Izzo, and the rest of Michigan State still in hot water as the fallout from the Larry Nassar case continues to engulf Michigan State and East Lansing? We're going to talk with Matt Charbonneau of the Detroit News coming up in hour number two of the program today. Love It or Leave It is on the way for you in a couple minutes at the bottom of the hour. Scott Dochterman from the Land of 10 will be with us today as well as we chat with him about the thought process that went into filing the Freedom of Information Act request that revealed Iowa had secretly extended Fran McCaffrey's contract back in November. Ben Neiman, former Hawkeye linebacker, is going to be with us inside the Big Hour, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement. That's coming up at 6 o'clock tonight. Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com will be in on the back half of the program, as well as Alex makes his way to Iowa City West tonight for some girls' high school basketball action. We've got a couple games you can hear right here on KGY. And plenty more to get to. We'll get you the order for the Carl and Ernie's Pick 6 coming up in just a little bit. Lots to get to today. The Iowa women had a big win last night at Carver Hawkeye Arena. Congratulations going out to Lisa Bluter and her staff. They upset Ohio State. Get back to the 500 mark in Big Ten play. But let's start with a story that continues to gain steam and continues to have me pulled in several different directions as I look at that. And that's what's going on in East Lansing at Michigan State, because 5 years ago I sat on this very stool behind this very microphone and I said something to the effect of, I don't think we will ever see anything like this again. I was, of course, talking about Jerry Sandusky and Joe Paterno and Penn State and the massive cover-up, and here we are 5 years later, and you've got another Big Ten institution, although, as people have mentioned on the Hertine and Stocker text line, that's really not relative to the situation. You've got another Big Ten institution in Michigan State who employed a monster in Larry Nassar, and there's no other way to describe what this guy did for decades to hundreds of young women and girls. Guy is a monster. Michigan State apparently had been tipped off, had known about this for decades.
Since 1997.
Decades. I was still in high school in 1997, so 21 years. We're getting ready for a 20-year reunion. So 21 years, Michigan State had known about this, or at least that's when the first red flag went up. And now ESPN's Outside the Lines has dug a little bit deeper into that Michigan State athletic department. Mark Hollis, the athletic director, resigned today. The president of the university resigned earlier this week. And they found that with the football and basketball programs, there may be some culture issues there. We're not quite talking Baylor level of culture issues, but 7 instances with the football team under Mark D'Antonio's watch. At one point, there was one instance where D'Antonio told a player who was accused of sexual assault he should talk to his mother about it.
That was the extent of the punishment, yes.
A player getting out of jail on Friday, playing in a game on Saturday. And then Tom Izzo, some very high-profile Michigan State basketball players have had some allegations in the past that Tom Izzo maybe didn't handle the way that he should have.
High-profile names, yes.
None of this should surprise anybody. And I tweeted that earlier today. If you follow me on Twitter at Todd Brommelkamp, you know you get a lot of mundane thoughts, things that pop into my head. But I keep going back to this because, to me, there's a slight parallel to a story we talked about yesterday in this time. Some people thought we talked too much about it. Some people thought we didn't talk about it enough. And one idiot thought we didn't talk about it at all. And that's the contract extension that Fran McCaffrey got back in November, which was agreed to over the summer, but it was signed on November 29th because Gary Barta had taken some time off because of his prostate cancer, and they agreed to the contract and signed it in November. They didn't tell anybody about it. And the terms of the contract changed drastically, especially when it came to what it would cost to buy Fran McCaffrey out of the buyout. My quote-unquote outrage yesterday wasn't necessarily with the buyout numbers, although I do think it's pretty ridiculous that they are so favorable always for the coaches as opposed to the university. If Fran wants to walk away, it's $2 million. If Iowa wanted to walk away today, it's $10.2 million. I'd make it a little bit more equitable, but I'm not a negotiator. Anyway, I'm digressing from the point here. The parallel is athletic departments essentially operate as their own entities, and when you get in this insulated environment like you get in athletic departments, and then you've got another entity in the university, which anybody who's ever dealt with the bureaucracy of a state-run institution, you know what I'm talking about, but there seems to be this tunnel vision that goes on in these places. And especially inside of athletic departments, like, for example, at Iowa, which is completely self-sustained. They don't get any money from, it's not your taxpayer dollars that would go to buy out Fran McCaffrey. Important to always remember that for the people who do get really outraged about the thought of buyouts. But you get this idea that we don't need to tell anybody about this. And they don't need to know about it. And that's just with a contract extension, which, again, the issue for me is transparency. Because when somebody hides something, whether it's a wife from a husband from a wife, a coworker from their boss, if you hide something, automatically that says to me, maybe there's something going on here. It's not on the up and up. What's the issue with getting this out in the open? What's the big deal? Athletic departments just seem to promote this culture of, we got to keep this on the down low. And in this particular instance at Michigan State, multiple accounts of some very bad allegations, players actually getting in trouble with the law. And it's, hey, how do we keep this in-house so that people don't know about it? People don't find out about it because if we lose this guy, it could affect our ability to win a game, which is blanked up.
It is. And not only keeping things under wraps or keeping things in-house, but going out of your way to lie about them. Last June, Mark D'Antonio, the head football coach at Michigan State,
for was now,
the current, at least for the next, we'll get into that later.
It's our poll question today at KGYMRadio.com, by the way.
He was asked how he had dealt with situations like the two separate sexual assault allegations involving four players that they dealt with last offseason. If you remember, I mean, it seems like a distant memory at this point, but that's what kind of started a lot of the digging and investigating into the athletic department. But he was asked about it, and he asked how did he respond to such allegations in the past. And he said, and I quote, "This is new territory. We have never dealt with this kind of thing in my 11 years." And the investigation or the reporting today done by Outside the Line says that he dealt with seven of those cases. And one instance that you brought up, Todd, the instance of having the player, the punishment for the player was to talk to his mother, directly dealt with one of these instances. And I asked you this question before we went on in the air, and I think you kind of outlined that answer just a second ago. Why do these athletic departments continue to lie about allegations and try to cover up these types of things? Don't they know that people are going to go digging? In this day and age, anybody can get their hands on information. As we found from the Freedom of Information Act yesterday, was got this is not a new thing. This is not a new notion. And yet athletic departments think that they can get away with it?
That goes back to my point about the insular thinking, where you're looking out and you run into this all. Look, anybody that's listened to the program, you know I'm not exactly afraid to be critical of virtually anybody or anything. Sometimes that works to my benefit. A lot of times it works to my detriment. And I can't tell you the number of times where I know that I've gotten under the skin of somebody that works at the University of Iowa for being critical of something that the University of Iowa has done. And these people, I consider them friends, many of them, not all of them, but many of them I do consider friends. I understand that's your job and you get your paycheck from Iowa. So guess what? Yeah, I get it. You're going to defend Iowa to the hilt. I get it. And you understand this is my job. We talk about things that go on in the world of sports, especially at Iowa, Iowa State, you and I, good things and bad things. So if I understand and respect where you're coming from the standpoint of your job, and they look at me and understand where I'm coming from, you can be friends with people that you get under their skin. And again, Iowa has done a lot of things in the past to be critical of. And I think, as I said yesterday, it's perfectly okay to be critical of Iowa for not announcing this contract extension, because the optics look bad. You're coming off, and the timing was just a coincidence, but you come off a 20-point road loss to Virginia Tech or whatever the final point spread was, and you just don't say anything about it. And then, so it becomes what would have been a very minor story in November, late November, becomes a bigger story in January. Because people are going, okay, why didn't we know about this? What's the big deal? Why keep it a secret? And Iowa struggles with stuff like this sometimes. The optics. Now, going back to Michigan State, this is just as bad as Penn State. I mean, you're talking hundreds of girls and young women. Now, not all of them associated with Michigan State. Larry Nassar was the team doctor for the U.S. women's gymnastics program, but he was employed at Michigan State for all of these years.
And I think the first allegation was just a student. I don't even think it was an athlete at Michigan State University back in 1997.
And the thing that strikes me about what's going on in East Lansing, and again, I'm looking forward to talking with Matt Charbonneau from the Detroit News in hour number two, is that they're making the same mistakes that people in Happy Valley made 5 years ago, where you've got Board of Trustees members coming. They had a donor come out today and just make some completely ignorant remarks. And you go, how do these people function? How do they not get it? The president of the university steps down and in her resignation letter refers to situations being politicized. What's politicized about a guy violating young girls with his fingers? How do you politicize that? And that's the president of the university who chose to take that, just write the resignation letter right off into the sunset. But no, they're being defiant about it. And that's what upset a lot of people about Penn State, because those people were indignant about the whole thing. And you had Joe Paterno, who, you know, at the time, if you had a Mount Rushmore of college football coaches, he was on it. Now, Michigan State, to a much lesser extent, you've got one of the guys who, to me, is college basketball in Tom Izzo. And I like Tom Izzo. I've talked about that on the program a number of times before, how much I respect Tom Izzo. And you look at Rick Pitino and John Calipari and some of these other guys in that game, and you go, at least Izzo is a good guy. And now you look at this and go, God dang it, here we go again. And that's what upsets me about this. But to a minor, I mean, this is where you'll upset some people, because they'll think that this is, you're trying to make this a sports story. It's much bigger than a sports story. And nobody here is forgetting about the victims. And if it weren't for them, we wouldn't even be talking about this. So the victims play a huge role in this and continue to play a huge role in this. But the story, as it advances along, now becomes about athletics and that athletic department and that university. And again, the culture of big-time college athletics, where it's all about winning. It's all about winning. And if you're naive if you think this only goes on at Michigan State or this only on at Penn State. Now, not to the level of Jerry Sandusky, not to the level of Larry Nassar. But you're naive if you don't think there are coaches out there that are keeping players getting in trouble with the police or doing things on campus under the rug. You're naive if you don't believe it goes on virtually everywhere. Now, to the extent that you get an East Lansing or a Happy Valley, that's much rarer and disturbing. But it all comes back to Mark D'Antonio was doing these things, allegedly, because he wanted to win football games. And Tom Izzo was giving these treatment to these players because he wanted to win basketball games.
And I think it's more than Mark D'Antonio and Tom Izzo, and that's kind of the troubling aspect of this whole thing. It seems systematic. In going back to the article, one of the people that worked inside the compliance office and dealt with accusations of sexual assault on campus at Michigan State resigned in 2015 because she complained that the biggest complaint that she had was that the athletics department was way too involved in handling and investigating cases involving athletes. And you saw several cases where players were either given less charges or charges weren't filed at all as a result of something that they did. And Travis Walton was somebody who was named in the lawsuit, a former Michigan State point guard who allegedly was involved in a domestic violence case inside of a bar where he struck a woman twice. And then he was at the time on the coaching staff for Tom Izzo. And then months later, after Izzo allowed him to stay on as an assistant coach, and apparently Travis Walton pled guilty to littering in that case. He got a lesser sentence from domestic violence, from I think it was a misdemeanor assault, which was a small charge in the first place. He pled guilty in that case to littering. And that's the kind of treatment that you saw these athletes getting. And it was more than Thomas. It was more than Mark D'Antonio. It was Mark Hollis, who just resigned as the athletic director. It was Luana K. Simon, who just resigned as the school's president. It was a systematic thing that just made it seem like the athletes were more important than anybody else on campus. And that's what the troubling part of this.
Adam on the Hertin and Stocker text line asks, has the money corrupted athletic departments completely?
Yes.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking multi-million dollar businesses. That's what a college athletic department is. Multi-million dollar businesses. And it's like anything else. Fortune 500 companies, anybody else. They're worried about negative PR. They're worried about anything that hurts their brand. And they're worried about containing stories that may paint them in a negative light. And it does. It all comes back to the money. If it didn't, we wouldn't be paying coaches millions of dollars. Yeah, that's the first indication that things are coming off the rails here. Millions of dollars. And what does it boil down to? Wins and losses. And sometimes you lose your morality in between. 4:26, we got to step aside and take a quick break. We come back. Kyle's going to have a Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Plenty more to get to. Love it or leave it coming up at the bottom of the hour. And not one, but two $30 gift certificates to the Fieldhouse on First Avenue here in Cedar Rapids. We'll give you those before 7 o'clock tonight. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. All three KGYM frequencies, 1600 AM, 106.3, 107.5 FM. Back after this quick break.
You'll find more and more companies in the IT business charging a flat rate to their client each month, but we don't have that here. I'm Patty with Network Computer Solutions. We would never charge somebody just to have a relationship with them, only for services that we provide, because we really value the relationship that we have with our clients.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Have you been to the Fieldhouse lately? Yeah, the Fieldhouse, you know, the one and only Hawkeye Bar in Cedar Rapids. The sports bar where the food never takes second place. The famous happy hour that everybody loves. That's the one, the Fieldhouse. Bring your buddies for lunch this week. Stop in and grab a table or order online at fieldhouse1stav.com. Give your lunch hour a shot of black and gold pride at the Fieldhouse on First Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
427, welcome back in. Great show planned for you the rest of the way. Matt Charbonneau, not to say that the beginning of the show wasn't great, but that's never an easy topic to talk about, and we are far from done talking about this because I have a feeling there's going to be continued fallout. A lot of folks think that Mark D'Antonio doesn't survive this. Some people think Tom Izzo may not survive this. That's part of our poll question today at KGYMradio.com. Do either one of those guys make it through this? Emil's Hideaway sponsoring the poll question. More about them to come. Kyle is with us in the studio. Great job keeping everything on track yesterday during the road trip. We appreciate that. He's got a Midwest One Bank big board update for us right now. Midwest One, where you're the one.
The Hawkeye women put an end to their three-game skid in a pretty big way last night, upsetting number 12 Ohio State 103-89. The Buckeyes came in as the Big Ten's highest-ranked team, but the Hawkeyes controlled the game from start to finish. Megan Gustafson led with a game-high 29 points. Kathleen Doyle had 25 with 11 assists. Chase Coley had 12 points and 11 rebounds, and Mackenzie Meyer had 18 points on 4 of 6 from distance. The University of Iowa Sports Information released a statement this morning regarding Fran McCaffrey's extension, calling it fair and equitable to the marketplace, and also mentioning that McCaffrey has had multiple opportunities to leave, but it's clear he wants to stay. Regarding the buyout, they say it's nothing more than honoring the value of the contract. McCaffrey also said in a teleconference that he has no regrets about the perceived secrecy of it, saying, "I'm not hiding anything. I had a contract. I still have one." Tonight after the show, we've got a pair of huge high school girls matchups. On 1600 AM, the historic main gym, we've got Class 4A top-ranked Marion hosting number 5 center Point Urbana, and we've also got Class 5A second-ranked Cedar Falls traveling to number 9 Iowa City West, and that's going to be on 106.3 FM, the South Gym, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym. Looking ahead to tomorrow, we'll have the Iowa State men hosting number 22 Tennessee in the Big 12 SEC Challenge. We'll pick up coverage at 2 o'clock before they tip off at 3, also on 1600 AM, the historic main gym.
Sad news today out of the Iowa basketball program. Former Hawkeye great Bill Logan passed away yesterday in Keokuk, a member of the Fabulous Five, one of 9 Iowa players to have his jersey retired. I'll have more on him later on in the program. Hour number one continues. We got to get to Love It or Leave It, and we will do so next.
Howdy, folks. I'm Colonel Sanders. When I told folks my signature KFC pot pie was filled with delicious Kentucky Fried Chicken, veggies, and topped in a golden flaky crust and only cost $3.99, they said I was crazy. And maybe I was, because that was 1980, and $3.99 was a lot of money back then. But today, getting a meal that size for just $3.99 is a really great deal. So stop into a KFC and get yourself a pot pie. It's finger-licking good. At participating KFCs for a limited time, prices may vary. Tax extra.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
Brown, for the second time in 3 days, a top Michigan State official resigns in the wake of the Larry Nassar sexual abuse scandal. Today, Athletic Director Mark Hollis retires after 10 years on the job. An investigation by ESPN's Outside the Line shows the university has also been faulted for mishandling cases of football and basketball players accused of violence against women going back to 2009. USA Gymnastics announces today its entire board of directors will resign as requested by the USOC. New Titans head coach Mike Vrabel, more than familiar with the Patriots. He won 3 Super Bowl rings with New England as a player.
I was lucky enough to be a part of a lot of new players in Bill's second year. in New England, and then watching Tom Brady's development to where he is now and how he's been able to sustain the success over a long period of time is impressive, the consistency in which they do things.
Mike Vrabel on Golic and Wingo. Tiger Woods, one under par after two rounds at Torrey Pines. He is right on the cut line right now.
Become a new card member, and Discover Card will match all the cash back you've earned, dollar for dollar, at the end of your first year. Learn more at discover.com/match. Limitations apply.
There are so many choices for a home loan. Options are crucial when it comes to a first-time home purchase, mortgage refinancing, or bill consolidation loan. Hi, I'm Dan Hillers with First Federal Credit Union. Being able to select the absolute best loan for your situation can literally save you thousands of dollars over the life of the loan. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced homeowner, I promise to work to find the solution that is right for you. Learn more at firstfedcu.com. Member NCUA and Equal Housing Lender.
Learning where your DNA comes from with 23andMe.com might just inspire you to explore your connection to the world, like Kate. 45% of Kate's DNA is from the British Isles, so she took a little bike trip through Scotland. And 10% of her DNA is from North Africa, so she paid a call to Morocco. Order a DNA kit with 23andMe.com today and let your 23 pairs of chromosomes show you another way to experience the world. Get over 75 reports on ancestry, health traits, and more at 23andMe.com.
It's award season, specifically John R. Wooden Award season. And Windy celebrates the fresh crop of finalists for this year's trophy. But who will win the award? Will it be Michigan State's Miles Bridges? The sophomore swingman has his sights set on a national title. Will it be Duke forward Marvin Bagley III, who leads his team in points and boards? What about Trae Young? Has anyone been as dominant as Oklahoma's freshman guard? This should be a fun race to watch. The John R. Wooden Award is presented by Wendy's.
The 4 for 4 from Wendy's has a lot of fans because it's a deal that gives you a sandwich plus 4 nuggets, a small fry, and drink all for just $4. But now the 4 for 4 has more variety than ever with 8 sandwich choices.
I'm loyal to the double stack.
I'm Junior Bacon Cheeseburger through and through.
I pledge myself to the crispy chicken sandwich.
I'm loyal to my hunger.
Whether you're loyal to one sandwich or all 8, the Wendy's 4 for 4 has a sandwich for you. So try them all and pick your favorite. Now that's deliciously different.
At participating Wendy's for a limited time. Offer not valid in Alaska and Hawaii.
The thought of winter coming can be chilling. Knee-deep snow, face-numbing winds, frozen fingers, temperatures below zero. And yet, without a Duralast car battery, it could be even worse. That's why Duralast batteries are tested to perform in harsh conditions. So even if it's 40 below zero, your car can start up like it's 72 and sunny. Duralast, proven tough and only at AutoZone, America's number one battery destination.
Get in the zone.
When the game is on the line, you put the ball in the hands of your best player because they always perform under pressure. And at Valvoline, we too believe performance comes from hands-on expertise. That's why we created Valvoline Full Synthetic, specially formulated to provide maximum engine protection against friction and wear. So when performance counts, put your engine in the right hands. Valvoline, 150 years under the hood. Visit Advance Auto Parts now and buy 5 quarts of Valvoline Full Synthetic and an oil filter starting at $29.99. See store for restrictions and details.
Welcome back in. 4:35. Good news for the golf fans out there. Tiger Woods has made the cut. The Farmers Open.
Tiger update.
At Torrey Pines. Here's my thing with Tiger Woods. And I'm just going to say this. And I upset Golf Guy on Twitter the other day by sharing this opinion. It just, to me, it's Michael Jordan in a Wizards uniform. Like, you're going to occasionally, at this point, see Michael drop 40 against somebody wearing that Wizards uniform, but more often than not, you're going to see a 38-year-old guy trying to continue his NBA career completely out of form. That's what I look at when I see Tiger Woods. It's just, to me at this point, it's Jordan in a Wizards uniform. And so I get it. It's a nostalgia trip for a lot of people because you want Tiger to be good because Tiger was good when you were younger. I think that's what it boils down to. And to acknowledge that he's not that good anymore and that he's a little bit older, you're acknowledging that you're a little bit older. Everybody loves nostalgia. Hell, I'm sitting here drinking out of a coffee cup for Ed's Cafe in Platteville, Wisconsin, which I don't think is open anymore, but it was on Highway 151, and my parents and I used to stop there all the time on the way up to visit family, and then years later, I would stop there on my way up to Madison for football and basketball games, and they had great food. That's neither here nor there, but to me, it just, we're on one big, long nostalgia trip with watching Tiger, and at the end of the day, it's Michael Jordan in a Wizards uniform. Occasionally still worth the price of admission, but you're not getting what you think you're paying for. But he made the cut. He's going to be around for the weekend. And the only other thing I'll say about it is we're still talking about him. He's still relevant, just like Michael Jordan is still relevant today. We talk about him in Charlotte. So he's one of the greats. He's not as good as he used to be. But he still drives the conversation, drives the narrative, and it's good for golf. But let's give up the ghost. But he did make the cut.
Is that one of the choices?
Golf guy on Twitter, his response to that yesterday was, oh, I forgot you're an expert on golf. No, dude, it's an opinion. It's 2018, and we've gotten to the point where people can't even have opinions on things, which is bad news for somebody who's in the sort of in the opinion business. And again, my opinion runs counter to many people that I know and some people that I work with. Doesn't mean I don't like those people. Doesn't mean I'm not friends with them or they can't like me. How did we get to the point in this day and age where if somebody has a different opinion from you, just automatically write those people off? It's red or it's blue. It's black or it's white. Nah. There's a little purple in there. And there's a little gray. There's room. I want to squeeze Sonny in Iowa City in here. If it was anybody else, I think we would move on to Love It or Leave It. But Sonny in Iowa City is going to come blazing with some sort of impassioned take on some topic that we've talked about today. I just can't see what it is. Sonny, what's up?
That's a glowing review if I've ever heard one. The Tiger Woods thing, I mean, nostalgia is a powerful drug. And we all, you know, want to remember the world as it was when we were, you know, 22 or something like that. But the baffling thing with Tiger and the reason why so many people, one of the reasons why they want to see him great again is because it's hard to comprehend why he's not. We've got Tom Brady in the Super Bowl who is still behaving like the GOAT. I mean, he is just defying all logic as far as what he's accomplishing at this point. And he's basically the same age as Tiger Woods, except Tiger Woods is playing golf, which is the kind of sport that I would expect somebody who's like 50 to come out and maybe have a really good tournament and challenge at the Masters or something like that, right? Like every now and then you see one of those seniors, you know, put up an amazing run. And that is possible in golf. But Tiger Woods fell so far off the cliff so fast when his mental game collapsed, that we all kind of expected him to just eventually, you know, get it together and then start to be dominant. Because he was so dominant, and he was not dominant. And I don't think anyone can really grasp that. And so I think that Tiger Woods it's as unique a situation as far as aging goes in any sport that I've ever seen, and especially in a sport where you should be able to age.
Appreciate the phone call, Sonny. The big thing with Tiger was he hurt his back. And when you golf, especially when you hit the ball the way that Tiger does,
and you
need a
torque your body the way he does. Yes.
You need a strong back. And what happens when you start limping around or when you start hurt your back, you hurt any part of your body, you start overcompensating for it in other areas, and then it throws everything out of alignment. And he's trying to get back there, but again, he's also older. And outside of PED, steroid-era baseball, not very many athletes get better the older they get, especially when you cross that 35 threshold. 319-366-1600. You can use the Hertin and Stocker text line to reach out to us. As a matter of fact, you know what? Right now, if you call 319-366-1600, you're going to get the first of our two Fieldhouse gift certificates today. We've got a $30 gift certificate to the Fieldhouse on First Ave here in Cedar Rapids for caller number 6, 319 866-1600. You tell me, it's 441. Can we accomplish Love It or Leave It in such a short window?
I think we can do it. And if we have to cut some topics off, that's what we have to do. But
let's do it. Let's see a lightning edition of Love It or Leave It.
If you don't love it, leave it. Let the song that I'm singing be a warning.
Two choices, one answer.
We either love it or we leave it.
It's okay. Ricky gave us permission to do this.
So we want to make sure moving forward that we have the okay to call that segment Love It or Leave It. Since you're sort of the owner.
Yeah, I'm okay. Fine with that.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Number one.
All right, Todd, transparency.
Transparency. I'm going to love this, and that's really the number one issue that I took with Iowa not saying anything about Fran McCaffrey's contract extension back in late November. And I know at this point it feels like we're belaboring the issue. But again, as I said earlier, when you hide something or you don't put something out in the open, the initial reaction I think most people have is it was hidden for a reason. Why don't you want people to know about this? And if it was just a bad timing issue, okay. Wait 48 hours, 72 hours, whatever, because it was the day after the Virginia Tech loss. But when you keep things behind closed doors, it just leads to a lot of speculation on the part of other people. And you see what's going on at Michigan State and Penn State, and it tells you everything you need to know about the mindset of powerful people, especially in college athletics, where their first inclination is, we've got to protect ourselves. We've got to protect ourselves. And not necessarily personally, but they view themselves as the school, as the mascot, as the brand. So it's, we've got to protect Michigan State. We've got to protect Iowa. We've got to protect Minnesota State Screaming Eagles, whatever, Coach Hayden T. Fox. 319-366-1600. Congratulations, by the way, Maurice in Marion, the winner of our first of two Fieldhouse gift certificates. I've already slowed us down. The lightning round, I don't think
number
it's going to work.
Two.
There we go. We're back on track. Thank you. The emergence of a leader.
Todd, I remember when Iowa basketball was on their overseas trip to Europe, the hype around Luka Garza was unbelievable. And I think it was perpetuated by Fran comparing him as the cross between Kevin McHale, Kevin Garnett, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. But
should have found a third Kevin.
I know. I apologize. And when Luka Garza got off to a slow start, I think a lot of people backed off that hype train. And the entire team has gotten off to has had a bad season to this point. But I think a lot of fans were wondering when this team was going to start showing the intensity and energy that it needed to compete in the Big Ten. And I think somebody who has consistently done that the entire season, and especially these past couple weeks, has been Luka Garza. Now, it's funny because I came in expecting this highly athletic and skilled big man. What we're actually seeing is a little bit different. He's a little bit limited athletically. He doesn't have the best feet. He plays below the rim, but he plays hard. And he has enough post moves right now to get by, and I think he's going to develop that game and develop his game as a shooter. So I look at a guy like that who's a freshman who is setting an example for a team right now that looks like it lacks leadership, and that's how a leader emerges. It doesn't matter if he's a freshman, sophomore, junior, or senior. Somebody has to lead by example, and so far it's been the freshman Luka Garza.
We've got
number three.
Marcus and Marion with Kevin Love and Matt in Cedar Rapids with Kevin Duckworth. Thank you, text line.
Kevin,
you guys, get us.
Stepping out
of conference play. Not a fan of it. Going to leave it. Iowa State hosts Tennessee at Hilton Coliseum tomorrow. SEC Big 12 Challenge shootout. I asked Tyler the other night, Tyler Ryder, my former co-host back in town or back in the state of Iowa, to cover that game for WNML, the sports animal in Knoxville. I said, shootout, challenge, what is it? I don't remember. But anyway, not a big fan of playing non-conference games in the middle of your conference schedule. I don't like it in football really hate it in basketball. And I don't think too many of the Iowa State players are big fans of it either, judging what I was reading coming out of Ames. But you know the Cyclones are going to be businesslike about it. They're going to approach that game as any other game. They're going to try to win. And you can hear it tomorrow right here on 1600 AM. But nah, play those games in November. Play them in early December. Don't play them January 26th.
Number four.
27th tomorrow, technically. The Fountain of Youth. Fountain of Youth.
Every time I've watched you and I football the past couple of seasons, I've been impressed with Darice Fountain, the wide receiver for the UNI Panthers. And he had an excellent week in Tampa at the East-West Shrine game. He was hooking up with Riley Ferguson the entire week. And I thought that the game that he had really elevated his stock. And I'm seeing him right now projected as a 6th or 7th round pick, possibly a free agent. But he's 6'2". He has good size. He is a really good route runner. And while scouts might think that he's a guy that could possibly has a 50-50 chance of making a roster, I think that he's almost a lock to make a roster. And I think he's a guy that could be a second or third wide receiver in the NFL when all is said and done. So I think that Darice Fountain is going to make it. And I love the Fountain of Youth.
I should have read that in the Gary Rima voice, or tried to.
Should I have answered that in the Mel Kuhn Jr.
baby
voice?
Fountain of Youth. Yeah, I can't do it. Just like Tywan Pickford couldn't the other day.
Number five.
You're winning, sir?
That is a line from Casablanca. And it refers to Inspector Renault being completely shocked that there's gambling going on at Casablanca. And then the attendant hands him his winnings. This goes back to Michigan State. Why do we continue to be surprised at stories like this? Why do we continue to act as if this is going on nowhere else? Let's get clued in here, people. You're shocked, just shocked that this is going on. And it's taken down the president of the university. It's taken down the athletic director. It may take down the football coach. And I think it's an outside shot at the men's basketball coach. It took down the entire... Separate from Michigan State, it took down the entire board of directors for USA Gymnastics. All these people looking the other way, and then they get called on it very obviously, and it's embarrassing, just like it was in Casablanca. That was the whole point of the scene. Leave it.
Number six.
Speaking of Mel Kiper Jr., Mel Kiper's promise, it's like deja vu.
I love this. This is almost the exact scene from 2010 where Mel Kiper Jr. was insistent that Jimmy Clausen was a top five quarterback in the NFL draft. He went as far as to say that if Jimmy Clausen out of Notre Dame was not a successful NFL quarterback, he would retire. Mel Kiper Jr. would retire. He would quit his job. Well, he has not lived up to that promise, because Jimmy Clausen has gone 1-13 as a starting quarterback in the NFL and has been
Bears.
He's been an irrelevant quarterback at the next level, and he went in the second round. He was so far, his value was so far under what Mel Kiper Jr. projected it, that you just wondered, were there ulterior motives? And it come to find out, he was really good friends with Jimmy Clausen's agent. And now Josh Allen. If you missed the gym class and Dan Shonka, a former NFL scout, talked about Josh Allen, he said, quote, Josh Allen is a media creation. I have him valued as a second or third round pick. It doesn't matter if you have a strong arm. If nobody can catch your ball, you're not going to succeed. Mel Kiper Jr. today, after a couple days ago saying that Josh Allen was going to be the number one overall pick, doubled down and compared him to Matthew Stafford. So this is exactly what happened in 2010 with Jimmy Clausen for a guy who's probably going to be a second-round pick.
Number seven.
Remember the Fabulous Five.
Yeah, I mentioned it a couple minutes ago, but Bill Logan passed away yesterday in Keokuk. He was a member of Bucky O'Connor's Fabulous Five team at the University of Iowa. And there's so much attention paid to that 1980 Final Four team, and there's so much talk about 86, 87, and Tom Davis and that crew. That Fabulous Five took Iowa to back-to-back Final Fours. And that's impressive. And it just, it gets glossed over because it's a really, really long time ago, the mid-50s. And you go back and you read up on a guy like Bill Logan, who was a member of Iowa's All-Century team, and I actually met him when they unveiled that All-Century team. I think it was the 2002 season where they honored them at halftime of the Iowa-Ohio State game, but they had a gathering at the Sheraton in downtown Iowa City the night before the game. Couldn't have been a nicer guy. And Sharm Sherman, who's passed away as well, all those guys, all five of them had their uniform numbers retired. Bill Logan's, I think, was number 46. I wanted to make sure to mention Bill Logan today on the program because that era of Iowa basketball seems to have been forgotten, or it's too easy to overlook. And he was a truly great player. Drafted by the Boston Celtics the same year that the Celtics drafted another big man, actually out of San Francisco, the team that beat Iowa in the championship game, Bill Russell. He went on to have a pretty good NBA career, Bill Russell did. I don't know if we're going to do this.
Number 8.
A new playoff contender.
I'll make it brief. The Milwaukee Brewers just solidified themselves as a playoff contender in 2018, adding Lorenzo Cain and Christian Yelich to that outfield, to what is already a better roster than the previous second place team, or somebody who they are contending for second place in the NL Central, the St. Louis Cardinals. I think they sent shockwaves to the NL Central. The Cubs are the clear favorite, but they're trying to bolster their rotation. If the Milwaukee Brewers can add a starter and continue to develop their pitching, they look like a team that will be reckoned with and will stick around in the NL Central. So I love this.
Number 9.
The XFL 2.0.
Leave it. I caught
number
you.
Number 10.
I got you. I caught you off guard. I told you we were going to be brief. James Daniels, first round pick.
I've come across, at least I think I know how NFL scouts work, and the main criteria that they want to know about an offensive lineman, what program does he come from? Comes from Iowa. That's a check mark for James Daniels. Is he big and athletic? That's a check mark for James Daniels. What is he like off the field in the meeting room? That's a check mark for James Daniels. Highly intelligent kid. So I've seen his stock rise. I think it's going to continue to rise, and the lack of production this year is not going to factor. He's going to be a first-round pick. I love this.
Did we get a touch of Mel Kuhn Jr. there?
Talk about a guy, 6'5 and a half, 295 pounds, flying under the radar now, but I think he has a chance to be a top-10 pick.
And that's going to do it for Love It or Leave It. Look at that. We've even got time to step aside for a little bit before we get our next big board update in. 4:54, Matt Charbonneau of the Detroit News set to join us to kick off the 5 o'clock hour. Scott Docterman, Ben Neiman, Rob Howe, HawkeyeNation.com, all coming up before 7 o'clock. Back with more after this.
Kickoff 2018 right at La Cantina. If it's football you love, catch all the championship games at any La Cantina location. Or pick up your favorites from La Cantina and take them home for your own viewing party. La Cantina has specials every day. And if you've made a resolution to eat better, La Cantina's light menu will hit the spot with healthier options of delicious favorites and even skinny margaritas. It's another great year for La Cantina Bar and Grill in the Fountains on Edgewood Road, in Marion, and downtown Cedar Rapids.
Welcome back in. The Todd Brommelkamp Show continuing on, along with Alex Kuhn, our producer Kyle Mann, with you until 7 o'clock tonight. High school basketball coming up at 7:30 on all three KGYM frequencies. I have a feeling it gets mentioned on your next Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, with over 40 locations across the corridor for all your banking needs.
The Hawkeye women put an end to their three-game skid in a pretty big way last night, upsetting number 12 Ohio State 103-89. The Buckeyes came in as the Big Ten's highest-ranked team, but the Hawkeyes controlled the game from start to finish. Megan Gustafson led with a game-high 29 points. Kathleen Doyle had 25 with 11 assists. Chase Coley had 12 points and 11 rebounds, and Mackenzie Meyer had 18 points on 4 of 6 from distance in her second game back from a hand injury. The University of Iowa Sports Information released a statement this morning regarding Fran McCaffrey's extension, calling it fair and equitable to the marketplace, and also mentioning that McCaffrey has had multiple opportunities to leave, but it's clear that he wants to stay. Regarding the buyout, they say it's nothing more than honoring the value of the contract. McCaffrey said in a teleconference that he has no regrets about the perceived secrecy of it, saying, "I'm not hiding anything. I had a contract, and I still have one." Tonight after the show, we've got a pair of huge high school girls matchups on 1600 AM, the historic main gym, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym. We've got Class 4A top-ranked Marion hosting number 5 Center Point Urbana, and we've also got Class 5A second-ranked Cedar Falls traveling to number 9 Iowa City West, and that's going to be on 106.3 FM, the South Gym. Looking ahead to tomorrow, we'll have the Iowa State men hosting number 22 Tennessee in the Big 12 SEC Challenge. We'll pick up coverage at 2 o'clock before they tip off at 3, and that's also on 1600 AM, the historic main gym.
Tiger Woods officially making the cut at Torrey Pines and the Farmers Insurance Open, so golf fans, you got a reason to live this weekend. It's almost warm enough we could play a little golf out there right now. It's beautiful out there today. I bet it doesn't last. By the way, speaking of this spring-like weather, good time to remind everybody, baseball fans anyway, today is the first day of college baseball practice. The Iowa baseball team shared some photos on its Twitter account of the guys on the surface at Duane Banks Field. So before you know it, baseball season will be here. We're going to talk about what's going on at Michigan State. Matt Charbonneau of the Detroit News kicks off hour number 2 next.